This morning, as we look at Luke 2, we'll be looking at a season for everything. There are three seasons in Luke 2 that we will look at. But I'm reminded that this time last week, we were celebrating Christmas. People have gathered together with family and friends. We've probably eaten way too much. We've reminisced, we've remembered. Some of us have been organized and put away the trees and the decorations. But now we begin to move on and start thinking about another year ahead of us. What will we experience in 2024? Ecclesiastes, our first reading, reminds us that there's a season for everything. In the year ahead, it will be a season of laughter and joy and celebration, but there will also be seasons of tears. I'm touched by the notion that it will be a year to embrace and there'll be a year to refrain from embracing. It's a season for everything. And in God's providence and perfect timing, we come to Luke 2. We'll be considering verse 21 and the next dozen or so verses. And we will see three seasons that Luke reminds us of. Firstly, it'd be a season of starts, of preparation, a season of new beginnings. And we'll see this as Jesus is prepared for ministry and presented at the temple. We see that in verse 21 to 24. But there'll also be a second season, an end of season. And we see that in Simeon's life. When he finally sees Jesus, he says he's ready to depart. He's ready to say farewell. He's ready to die. We see that in verse 25 to 32. But the third season is a season of sorting, sifting. We're told that the child, Jesus, will be the cause for many to rise and to fall. And so the question for you and for me is, is 2024 a season where we will rise or where we will fall? It's a season of great sorting. So let's have a look then at Luke 2, the start of a new season. And we'll read this in verse 21. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel, before he was conceived in the womb. Jesus is circumcised on the 8th day. It's a fulfillment of Genesis 17, the promises and commands to Abraham. Incidentally, this coincides with the 1st of January in modern calendars. You know that? It's interesting. The child is named Jesus. Mary and Joseph didn't choose the name, and parents normally choose babies' names, but this name was given by God, announced by the angel to Mary, even before conception. Why do we have all of this? Why does Luke share these things with us? He wants us to know that this Jesus is a Jew. He's descended from the tribe of Israel, from Abraham's loins. And we know that that's significant because great blessing will come from Abram. We're also reminded his name is appointed by God because he will save his people from their sins. That's what Jesus name means. Matthew's gospel reminds us of that. To start of a season for this child. But in verse 22-24, we see that this season continues to progress because 40 days later, there are other Levitical traditions to be observed. 4 times in this short section, we are told that certain things of the law of Moses, the law of the Lord, are fulfilled. 4 times. We note that Mary needs purification after childbirth. That's an Old Testament law. Presumably Joseph also, as he ministers to his wife, needs to be purified. But after 40 days, Levitical laws require parents to take up the children to the temple and to offer a sacrifice, particularly for every male who is holy. That is, a child to be set apart, one who's different for the Lord. That's taken from Exodus 13. 4 times it's told us, we're told that various aspects of God's law have been fulfilled. You know, in summary, Joseph and Mary knew what was required of them. They knew what the Lord required of them and they fulfilled it. They faithfully prepared Jesus for a life of ministry by presenting him at the temple, by obeying all the Levitical laws. They were a family who knew God's ways, knew God's laws, and they prepared, they fulfilled, they executed. For us, as we sit on the threshold of a new calendar year, do you know what is required of you in 2024? Do you know what's required of you? Later in January, there'll be a traffic jam at Officeworks. Teachers, parents know what that's about because people are preparing their children for the next year of school. I was always excited getting a new pencil case and, you know, brand new equipment and stationery. That gives you an insight into my personality. But this year, you might be doing jobs around the house. It's quieter. I know some people were tidying up, getting odd jobs done around the house. Maybe you've been planning for holidays. We know, as a people, how to prepare for a year ahead, don't we? I know people are planning to travel. They know they're going to have their bags packed, their documents there. We know what it is to prepare. Do you know we're not commanded to prepare any of those things? They're optional extras. They're good things to prepare for. But God hasn't required us to prepare for those things in particular. Yes, they're a good outworking of preparing well for life, but they're not the main things God wants us to prepare for. How much time have we thought about what we're going to do for the Lord in 2024? Have we prepared for that? Have we considered that? Is this even on our radar? Is it a priority? Have we prepared for everything else except for the Lord? And I say that because upon reflection in 2023, looking at my life and the life of those in our church, we're busy with so many things. But isn't this true of so many of us? When life is busy and we're doing so much stuff, the thing that we're prepared to sacrifice is what? The things of the Lord. We're prepared to skip church for other things. We're prepared to miss our Bible readings. We're prepared to defer prayer. But they're the things that God wants of us, desires of us, requires of us. So are we prepared? No faithful parent will send their kids to school or homeschool in January, February without the right equipment. And we would look at each other and go, oh, that's terrible. But let's not give each other a free pass when we drop the things of the Lord. Joseph and Mary knew what was required of them. And to know what's required of us, we need to spend time in God's Word. It's not just wishful thinking. How many of you will say, this is the Lord's day? This is a day when we gather for worship. Nothing will move this. We will come into God's house and give God glory and honor that He is due. Or how many of us will just float on in 2024 and do everything else except that which is required of us? As husbands, as wives, as fathers, as mothers, will we lead our families well? Will we ensure the worship of God is prioritized? As church members, whether here or elsewhere, will we fulfill the promises that we made to one another? How will you serve? How will you show hospitality? That is what's required of the Lord, right? Have you done it in 2023? Was it adequate? When I say adequate, this is never for justification. None of these things make us right before God. But these good works are required of us because we're meant to be different. We're meant to be distinct. When people look at our lives, they must say, They know God. We're called to prioritize God's kingdom first. And for us to do that, we need to cut off and say no to things. So some of us are spending way too much time at work. And you have to say no. You have to say no. I've read Exodus. I know what Pharaoh looks like. I know what it is to make bricks with less straw. You need to pray for grace to say no. Because I need to spend time with the worship of God to lead my family well. Some of us have to say no to unnecessary leisure things. Some of us have to just unsubscribe to too many streaming services. For each of us, we know what it is to prioritize for the things that are most important. And Joseph and Mary, as they offer up sacrifice, that cost them something. It will cost you, it will cost me something to prioritize God's kingdom. But whatever it costs us, it is nothing compared to what it cost God to reconcile you and I to Him. If we're to be different, if we're to be holy, we must prepare well for a new season. We need to spend time in God's Word. Carve out time. Guard it. Say no to it, even to your family. You know, children say, Mom, Dad, I need this. You can say, I need to spend time in God's Word. Just give me a moment. Will your calendars this year be different to 2023? Will it really be different? You know, you lose your phone, someone picks it up and they go, oh, who is this person? And for whatever reason, the Face ID works, it opens it up. They look at your calendar and they go, oh, this guy must be a Christian. Or it's no different to the world. They look at your bank balance and they say, it's no different to mine. Or even from our spending. Do people know that you've spent on others, maybe donated, supported the church, opened up your home? You've bought more food because you're having people in your homes. I don't know, maybe I'm just getting old. Everyone goes, Mike, you look tired. Yes, it's been a long year. But let me not waste this opportunity. There was a time and place when our society and cultures would open up homes because it cost us. It was the dumb thing, but these days we'd rather go out and meet in a cafe. You know why? Because someone else cleans up after us. I suppose that's okay. But can I say, if you're a member of this church and you haven't had anyone in your home this year, you need to repent. You need to repent. Because Christian hospitality is a duty. It's a reflection of the gospel. It is uncomfortable, it is sacrificial, but it is required of us. Maybe you do show hospitality, but you only show it to some people. Can I encourage you to expand your table, extend your tent? How do we prepare for 2024? That's the first. It's a new season. But there's a second season here in verse 25. We read of a time when someone is ready to say farewell. Let's read verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. There are some things we know about Simeon, that he was righteous and devout, he's committed to the things of God. But there are some things we don't know. We don't know his age, but I always imagine him being an older man. But maybe he was midlife. I don't know. Maybe he was younger. We don't think he's a priest because it would have mentioned that if he was so. So it seems that Simeon was a righteous, a devout, a committed believer, not in official office, just a layperson. But it says that he is waiting for the consolation of Israel. Either way, it seems that he is a patient man. Like today, there were many frustrations in Jesus' time. Socio-political, the cruelty of Herod, the oppression of the Romans. Many in that day wanted deliverance. And Simeon was waiting upon God. I'm sure you're waiting for deliverance. What are you waiting for? Well, as Simeon is waiting upon God, the Holy Spirit, who is God, the third person of the Trinity, he comes and he comforts. He assures Simeon he will not die until he sees salvation. What were we waiting for in 2023? As interest rates went up, we were waiting for the RBA to say, stop, no more. Some of us were waiting for a promotion, a new job, still waiting perhaps, a life partner, husband or a wife, waiting for children, waiting to be reunited with others, some waiting for visas. Friends, if you have made it today, waiting has ended. Why? Because you're sitting under God's word. And as we read scripture, as we sang gospel songs, as we prayed gospel prayers, God has given you today an opportunity to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that? If God has brought you to this day to sit under his word, God has been gracious to you. God has been kind to you. Because there are many people in this city and across this world who have waited for many things over 2023 and have still not sat under the gospel. You realize that, don't you? This is a privileged position you are in. As long as I preach this faithfully, as long as scripture is read out faithfully, you have the opportunity to look upon Christ. And Christ is indeed being raised up for you. Here he is, a baby. You know that the angels, when Jesus was born, and we considered that last week, said, look, he is here. Look, he is here. Come see where he lay. Jesus would then go live for 30 years, live a perfect life, perform many signs and miracles to point to himself that he is the Messiah, the sent one of God. Then he would die on the cross for his people, and he would call upon people to believe upon him. He would die, he would be buried. And 33 years later, from look, this is where he lay, angels would be in that tomb. And they say, he's not here. Those angels would say, this is where he lay. But he's risen, he's ascended. Friends, I want you to know that this Jesus came from heaven, became a man, that he would die for us and he would rise again, that our sins might be forgiven, that we would have eternal life. That is the consolation of Israel. That is the consolation for our world. That is the consolation for you and for I. Because all the problems of the world, as many as they are, our greatest problem is not educational, it's not financial, it's not political, it is spiritual. Friends, we are in bondage to sin. And Jesus came to liberate us and free us by paying the penalty and setting us free. No wonder. No wonder when Simeon, who is looking upon Jesus by faith, but now sees him with his eyes, and to be fair, Simeon sees much less than we do today. sees a child, but by faith he knows that this is the Savior. And so at the same time in verse 27, he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, Simeon took him up in his arms and blessed God. He praised God. He adored. He worshipped. He spoke well of God and said, Lord. Now, you're letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, not just for me, but for all peoples, and a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. There were many sad and disastrous things in Simeon's day, but when he saw Jesus, all was well. All was well. Simeon was ready to die after he had seen Jesus. That's what that's saying. He was ready to close his eyes and bid farewell. This time last year, I wonder if Sinead O'Connor, and she was a musician from a long time ago, if she was ready to say farewell, because she died in the last 12 months. Or what about Matthew Perry? This time last year, was he ready to say farewell? Or Bill Granger, he's a famous chef for those who don't know. I don't know. I don't know them personally. But generally speaking, they were all relatively young. And they all died. And they died with countless others. Maybe you feel you're not ready. Maybe I think I'm not ready. There are still things I want to do to tick off that, you know, that so-called bucket list. You want to travel places, experience new things. You want to get married. You want to have kids. But Simeon reminds us that seeing Jesus, and I know this will sound offensive to some people, but sometimes idols need to be smashed. Seeing Jesus is more important than getting married. Seeing Jesus is more important than having kids, and healthy kids, and successful kids. Seeing Jesus is more important than retiring well and ending a full life, traveling the world. For Simeon, the most important thing is seeing the Son of God in the flesh, to lay eyes on the Savior. So are you ready to close your eyes? Are you ready to say farewell to loved ones? We don't ask ourselves that question enough. But there is no guarantee. There are 31 days here for January. There's no guarantee we'll see the 1st of January, let alone the 31st of January. We don't know the day nor the hour when the Lord will return, or when we will take our last breath. So are you ready to die? Have you seen Jesus? Have you placed your faith in him? Simeon teaches, there's only one way to prepare for death. I know those of us who are older, we want to get insurances right and all the rest of that, but the only way to prepare for death is to see Christ, to know him, and to be known by him. I'll say a second shocking thing. Church attendance. Church attendance doesn't prepare you for death. It's a good thing. Reading your Bibles doesn't prepare you for death. There are lots of people who attend church and there are lots of people who read their Bibles who will say, Lord, Lord, I did all these things. But Jesus will say, depart from me. I never knew you. I don't want to discourage you from attending church. I don't want to discourage you from reading your Bibles. I just want to emphasize that it is only knowing Christ. It is Christ who saves. These are the means by which we know Christ. But all those activities, yeah, they're helpful. But Christ must be received by faith. You must know Christ. There must be fruit in your life. You know, here's a quick test. If you know and love Christ, then worship and Christian fellowship is not burdensome. It can be a bit annoying sometimes. Not the worship, but the fellowship. But no, the worship of God, fellowship amongst the saints, it's a delight. If the opposite is true, if worship is a drag for you, if you've got more bounce in your step to get to work or to serve your family or to do whatever else it is, but not to come and worship the living God, or if you're more comfortable with those in the world than saints by calling, at best, you're very unhealthy and you're very sick. At worst, you've deceived yourself and you're not a Christian. What's hard for you? What was hard for you in 2023? What will you delight in 2024? What's the apple of your eye? Maybe you say, look, I just need to see Jesus in the flesh, just like Simeon. Well, friends, Jesus is sitting in heaven right now. But Jesus does give us this promise. When he spoke to Thomas, because, you know, remember there was a guy called Thomas who doubted a lot. And finally, when Thomas says, oh, now that I've seen, now I believe. Jesus gives us hope and he says, Thomas, blessed are you because you've seen. But the greater blessing belongs to those who believe and still have not seen physically. We can see by faith. If you know Jesus, if you are known of Jesus, if you've seen him and you love him and you adore him, and I get a call from a loved one next year that says, this terrible thing has happened, I'll gladly and with great confidence take your funeral. But don't make my job any harder than it has to be. Come to know the Lord. If you know Jesus, it doesn't matter what 2024 brings. Because if you die, in that instant, you will wake up in glory. So if we've seen Jesus, that delivers us from all our fears. Nothing can take us from the love of God. But here's the third and final season, and very briefly, we know that this season will be a season of sifting, of sorting, of there's confrontation, there's a challenge. It's a season where many will rise and many will fall. Why is knowing Christ critical? Because he is the focal point of your eternal destiny. Jesus is the stone. For some, he is a cornerstone, one in which we build our lives upon. But if you don't approach a stone correctly, sometimes it's a stumbling block and it trips you over. He is still that stone. He is still that rock. He can be one where you can build your life upon him. Or because you resist him and you reject him, you will be crushed by him. It's summertime, the weather's not great today, but over the coming weeks, we trust there'll be times when we will go to the beach. We'll maybe take a smaller bucket out, maybe a spade. You know, you fill the bucket with sand, you build castles, you build moats, you build tunnels. If you've seen my castles at the beach, they're very basic, very basic. Haven't really advanced much further than a couple of buckets and... But I've seen some very intricate ones, dedicated ones, where people spend hours upon hours. You've seen them? Whether I spent 5 minutes doing it or half a day, you know what eventually comes? The tide. And when the tide comes, all that effort is washed away. Washed away. Friends, what have we spent our life doing in 2023? What will count in eternity? Only the things for the Lord will count for eternity. Those of you who've been to my house know how much I love my lawn. You know how I manicure it, weed it, care for it. Shaddy was shocked. He goes, "You mow it twice a week." It will not matter in eternity how often I mow my lawn. But it will matter how I have loved others. It will matter if I've taken a risk to share the gospel with those around me. That's what will count. It will matter if I'm prepared to share Christ with my neighbors, with my friends. The tide comes in. And we'll wash it all away. It will count for nothing. Look at the rich and the famous of the world today. Those who make the fortune, 50, 500, I don't know what it is these days. They've got massive castles. And when their time has come, that tide will wash it all away. That is the fall of many. Those who have much in this world, but in their accumulation, in all their work, in all their effort, they have rejected Christ. But there are many who are unknown, who are unseen, who are forgotten, who are unimpressive to the world. But God has worked in their lives, and they've given a cup of water. They've opened up their homes. They've cared enough for someone else to pray for them. Why? Because they love Christ. They love his kingdom. They love his family. They're sons and daughters of the living God. Those who are unknown, the weak, the foolish things of the world, the humble will be lifted up. And Jesus will cause many to rise. Jesus is very polarizing. There's only two groups of people in this room, those who love Jesus and those who hate Jesus. And you go, "Oh, actually I'm a little agnostic, I'm a little bit in the middle." Sorry, you're still in the hate camp. There's no neutrality with Jesus. You must love Jesus. And to love Jesus, you must see yourself for who you are, for who I am, that we are sinners before a holy God. Please, if you're sitting on the fence, you say, I'm not sure. What does Jesus have to do? He's given you today. He's given you this moment. He's given you this hour. Friends, it's not a negotiation with the King of Kings. He set forth the terms, and they're very generous terms. Surrender your life, lay down your arms, and I will forgive you. I will adopt you into my family. I will call you my child. Will we rise or will we fall in 2024? Because there a day is coming. A day is coming when everything will be revealed. We see this, don't we? The sign has come, one that will be opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. You know, last week kids were busy opening up Christmas presents. Like, oh, what's this? So much excitement, so much joy. A day is coming when presents will not be opened, but the book of life will be opened. My question, friends, is, are our names in there? Is your name in there? In summary, we've just considered three seasons. A season of starts, of preparation. What are we going to do to prepare for the year ahead? Second, we saw a season where it was the time to say goodbye. Simeon was prepared to die because he'd seen the Christ. Is Jesus enough for you? Or are you looking for other things to complete your bucket list? Is 2024 a season of rising or falling? May God grant us much grace to believe upon him, to repent of our sins, and to serve him with greater faithfulness in the year ahead. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we come before you. We confess that you've given us 365 days this year. And Lord, if we're honest, much of it's been wasted. Chasing our own desires, our own pleasures. Father, forgive us for this. We thank you that you are a gracious and forgiving God, that even though we have wasted and squandered so much time, you restore us, you make us whole, you make us new. Lord, grant us the grace to love you, to serve you, to honor you in our lives from this moment forward. Even with the last 12 hours of 2023, may we honor you, may we glorify you. May we see that the most pressing thing is for us to know you and for those around us to know you. So Lord, help us to prepare well for days of service. Help us to ensure that we know you so that if we are called home, we are ready to come. Lord, may 2024 be a year when many will be raised up as sadly many fall. And we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.